Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Welcome to our worship service this morning. For those of you who are joining us online, welcome to you also. And if perchance this is the very first time you are visiting with us online or here within the congregation, welcome to all of you also. Thank you for coming into the presence of the Lord today. The psalmist in Psalm 22 tells us there, yet you are holy, speaking of the Lord, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. If you hold the King James Version, it says, you inhabit the praises of your people. Today, as we come into his presence, let us adorn his person with our worship. Let us enjoy him today and forevermore. And his name is our Lord Jesus Christ. Find your hymnal with me, if you will, this morning, and go on over to number 38. You'll be needing your hymnal and your Bibles for the first part of our worship service together this morning as we sing our favorite hymns, as we reference God's Word with our favorite texts of Scripture, and have opportunity to share testimonies in just a little bit. But for right now, number 38 in your hymnal, if you are joining us at home and you have a home hymnal, we're going to be singing the hymn entitled, I Will Call Upon the Lord. Stand with me if you will. Let's sing. Let's worship. Not too bad, okay? We need to do that one over again. Yes, we do. And let's keep in mind whose name it is that we're praising today. If you feel like tapping those toes, you Baptists, you go right ahead. If you want to clap your hands, I encourage that also. Let's worship our Lord. Let's sing it again. Let's praise his name. Thank you. And may he be exalted in our fellowship this day, in our worship of his name. We're here to magnify the name of Jesus, to exalt it, to lift it on high. He is our Creator, he is our Redeemer, our Savior, and our soon coming King. Praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 34, a Davidic psalm. Listen to what the text of God's Word says to us today. For the Lord has revealed himself to us. He wants us to know him, and we can know him through his word and through his indwelling spirit. The word of God reads like this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Let's pray together. Lord, this day we do call upon you. We want to worship you with the fullness of our hearts, in joy and in thanksgiving, in overflowing gladness. You have drawn us into your presence this day and this hour, O Lord. We will bless your name at all times. And Lord, we also concur with the psalmist that your praise shall continually be on our lips. O Lord, let us taste this day yet again and see of your goodness to us. Lord, we take refuge in you. We love you. We love you, O Lord. Receive the worship and the praise of your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, dear friends. Go ahead and find a seat. Have your hymnals and your Bibles in hand. We're going to go around, pick up some of your favorite hymns in just a moment. But before we do that, just a very quick word of announcement. As you came in today, you would have noticed two sign-up sheets. One of them for our missionary banquet next Sunday morning after the morning service. We'll be having Sean Donnelly with us from Missionary Air Group. We look forward to that time together immediately following the service. Downstairs, we'll be in the social hall, we'll be having our annual missions banquet. The only thing that we need from you is to sign up. Let us know that you're coming out to it so we know how many to prepare for. There is a sign-up sheet on the sideboard right in the foyer as you exit today. And we're also asking if you could bring a dessert to share. We're going to have a dessert bar after our meal next Sunday. So we need to know how many to prepare for, how much food to make, so please do sign up for that. Along with that is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board out there for our Thanksgiving ministry. And we're going back to full dining room service again this year, as we have in years past, along with delivery. We usually do somewhere between 600 to 700 meals to our community at that time, so it certainly does need all hands on deck. If you could visit that sign-up board before you leave today to sign up either to bring food or maybe to volunteer for help in the different capacities in which we need. So two things, remember that, two things to sign up for before you leave today. So just a few things I want to bring to your attention. Do you have your hymnal in hand? Let's go to our hymnals together. Boys, I see several hands back there. Let's go through a couple of our favorite hymns today. All right, Ben, you go first, buddy. What do you want to sing? Number 138. That sounds like the Christmas section to me. Yeah, number 138. All right. It's a missionary song in the Christmas section, or the Christmas song in the missionary section. And let's sing them all. 130, those of you joining us at home, as you hear the organ music starting, we're going to be singing the hymn entitled, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Let's sing together. Let's worship. There you go, our mission / Christmas. Yeah. Jack, you got one for us, buddy?
382.
Number 382. All right, let's see what Jack has picked out for us. 382 in your hymnal. Oh, that's a good one, Jack. You want to sing them all, Jack, or you got a couple of verses in there that you have an affinity towards? All of them. All righty. For those of you joining us at home, we're going to be singing the hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Hey, go ahead and stand with me, and this will be our final hymn for the morning. We're going to get to your favorite scripture readings and testimonies in a moment. So be thinking about that, if you will. But right now, four verses, Be Thou My Vision, is 382.
Thank you.
evening. Thank you. You may be seated. Gentlemen, would you join me up front at this time? We'll prepare now to take up our morning offering as we continue to worship through the bringing forth of our gifts. We present our Lord with our tithes, our offerings, that which we have prayed about, have determined, have set aside already, now for the express purpose of worshiping Him in the giving of gifts. Let's pray together, and the ushers will make their way before every family, and as you are putting your gift in the plate, worship the Lord. Lord, with grateful hearts, we are now found in this place to give to you, O Lord. We're mindful that you are the owner of all things, that there's absolutely nothing that you need from us. But Lord, you have given to us an opportunity now and an occasion to worship you in the bringing forth of our gifts. Lord, as we present these gifts to you, we are mindful of the fact that we are the recipients ourselves of the greatest gift of all. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for your Spirit who dwells within us, God in us. Thank you for your Word, the precious Word of God, that which is life and light to us today. Thank you that we are such a blessed people, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And now, Lord, as a thankful people, we bring forth these gifts of worship. We give them to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jennifer. All right, folks, have your Bibles in hand at this time. We do this about once every 4 or 5 weeks. We have opportunity to share some of maybe a favorite scripture text of yours, or maybe it's somewhere you have found yourself this week, this month, maybe just this morning. Somewheres where the Lord has blessed you and spoken to you and ministered to your heart through His revealed word. Or maybe you're here today and you just have a word of testimony that you would like to share to encourage God's family. How has the Lord blessed you this week? How has He demonstrated His amazing grace to you this past month? How has He been at work in your life? So with that being said, a scripture text, a word of testimony. Who would like to go first? Not everybody all at once now, okay? Ed, start us off, and then Mary, I'm coming to you, dear.
Matthew 6:33 is kind of like a family birth God. Let me read it for you. And the context is the disciples are getting kind of nervous. They're about how they're going to live. And they said, Lord, we left everything. How are we going to eat? Where are we going to get our clothes? When they wear out, and where's our meals coming from? Jesus says, But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you as well. I was teaching that to somebody recently, a young believer, and I was saying the words are very important there. In any translation, it says seek him first. It doesn't say seek him second or seek him at the same time you're seeking something else. He says seek me first. And the Lord just, I've been in ministry for a number of years now, and but the Lord just gave me another reminder of that. I was one morning, not too long ago, a few days ago, the first thing I did, I took my Bible from my nightstand and just went into the Word. Instead of doing anything else, I just went into the Word. And then later on, I got on my bicycle. I have a classic bicycle that I love to ride. I just amble along, you know, and I was musing on this passage, seeking first the kingdom of God. And as I was riding along, I always glance on the road and the shoulder because I don't want to be running over any glass or anything like that and messing up my tires. But as I was musing on this, I happened to glance and there was a dollar bill on the ground. So I picked it up and I went to the coffee shop and added my dollar and had a cup of coffee. But, you know, the Lord just was saying to me, this is a little something just to remind you to seek me first.
Ed, thank you. Thank you. All right, just, hey, keep an eye out for those stray dollar bills, okay? All right. Hey, Mary, and then Bob, I'm coming to you afterwards.
I want to give God the glory because I, how can I put this? I'm in a very stressful job that's getting more stressful with each passing week. They're putting more and more. They're putting a load on us that's getting heavier to bear with each passing week. And I had been seeking a different position within the company that I work for. So an opening came up about a month ago, and I put in for it. And you have to fill out that whole application and all these essay questions. It's a really involved process, and I honestly didn't want to deal with it, but I forced myself to. And because the position I'm in now, I've been exhausted when I get home from work. I go to bed, I sleep, I get up, I'm exhausted. I feel like I'm not sleeping. So the day I got an interview, and it was a Zoom call, and there were two interviewers, and the questions were really difficult. You really had to think about your answers. You had to think about examples. It was a 30-minute interview, 30 or 40-minute interview. I was losing my voice because of the stress, because I was exhausted. I couldn't think. I was just spent, and I'm like, by the third question, I think there were 8 questions, I was ready to run and just say, forget it. I can't do this. My stress level was through the roof. I had my prayer warriors praying for me inside and outside this church, and I texted all of them, said I blew it, I'm not going to get it, I don't know what I'm going to do. That whole weekend I looked for other jobs, applied for other jobs. Needless to say, that Monday, as I'm doing my route, I get a text message from the manager saying, can you give me a call when you have a chance? I'm like, all right, he's going to tell me he gave it to somebody else. So you can probably all guess. I got the position. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. thank you, Jesus. It's a desk job. I'm not out on the road anymore. I've been on the road for the last 13 years. And I'm not going to be having to maneuver big, heavy objects 100 times a day anymore. So it's going to be a desk job. There'll still be some stress. But the load is going to be a whole lot lighter. And I just want to give God the glory because it had nothing to do with me. So.
Amen. Amen, Mary. Thank you, Jeff. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Bob, what do you have for us, friend?
I just want to tell everybody that my wife Paula is doing excellent. She has had no pain since day one, and healing is coming right along good. She's got a bandage on her foot, and it doesn't want to run around and get it dirty, so that's why she's not here today. But on the Bible side, okay, let me mention real quick, I've been reading Ecclesiastes, and It just drives my mind crazy every time I hear him say, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And he says it just about everything. And I'm thinking to myself, he was definitely under the law. He definitely did not have the Holy Spirit living within his heart and soul at the time. David was, Solomon was supposed to be the wisest man in the world, from what I'm told. And on this point, I think I would differ with him, because I know that if we're working for Jesus and we're doing things in his name, nothing is vanity and everything is victory. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you, friend. All right, Paula's home recovering from her surgery this week. Pat Safason is home today recovering from her new knee this week. And I know that we had been praying for Wayne's daughter, Pam. She had went through surgery and is recovering today. So many thanks with regards to prayer. The book of Ecclesiastes, well, thank you. Written by the Koheleth, the preacher. And indeed, it is, without Christ, it is futility, isn't it? It is vanity. But with Christ, we find satisfaction, contentment, wholeness, and the very core of the blessings of our lives through Jesus. Through Jesus. It's all about Jesus, beginning to end. We cannot read Scripture accurately or thoroughly or completely without seeing Jesus running throughout its pages from beginning to end. It's all about Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Ladies, we have you on for special music at this time. Thank you for sharing your gift with us.
Thank you.
Heather and Mimi, thank you for blessing us today and reminding us yet again of the great faithfulness of our Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. You discovered that? Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. And if you trace that back to where you would find it in Scripture, smack dab in the book of Lamentations, in the text of the Old Testament, in the midst of what was going on in the destruction in the land, the carnage and the chaos of the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians, the prophet Jeremiah, in the midst of it all, is able to say, like this beautiful rose, this beautiful nugget of incredible truth, even with all that's going on around us, and it was not good at that time, great is thy faithfulness. Praise the name of the Lord. Karen, welcome back to True Memorial Dare. We're so glad you're with us today. Edie is unable to be with us today. She is homesick. And so we're going to have an opportunity to pray for her just a little bit later on. Karen, I wanted to welcome you back to the pulpit here to share of ongoing ministry through ABWE and the work the Lord has given for you ladies to do right now in the area of curriculum and visuals. And it's always a delight to have you with us. We look forward to hearing what the Lord is put on your heart to share with us this morning about your ongoing ministry. This is our 75th annual missions conference. We support some 20 or so missionaries locally throughout the world, individual missionaries and missionary organizations, and we take our work of missions very, very seriously here in this church fellowship. And for the Lord has given to us a call and a mandate to go and to make disciples. And that is our passion. That's what we want to do. And Karen, I'm so thankful that the Lord has raised you up and has used your giftedness and your skill set in the area that he has blessed you with. So welcome back, friend. So glad you're able to be with us today. And please give our greetings to Edie also. At the end of the service, if you'd like to visit with Karen at all, she can be available. An incredible amount of talent and know-how here with regards to ministry to children. And go ahead and utilize her as a resource if you can, if you'd like to. Karen, welcome back, dear.
Can you hear me?
Not yet.
Is it better? Is that better? Okay. I was in a church down in Lancaster, Pennsylvania a week ago and speaking in prayer meeting, and they couldn't get the microphone on, and I had to raise my voice, and I'm a soft-spoken person, and it was like, oh. So I'm glad this is working. So I'm so glad to be back with you folks. We were unable to come last year because I came down with COVID and was diagnosed the day before we were supposed to be here, and I think Pastor Rick was like, oh dear, what are we going to do? But two gals that we know from CEF came and filled our spot, and we were so thankful for them. And then this week we got home from 13 days in Pennsylvania of ministry down there in my church in Lancaster. And on the way home on Tuesday, Edie said, I don't feel good. And she started coughing and coughing and coughing, and she's coughed all week long. And I thought, oh dear. The nurse told us to test for COVID, so we did. And fortunately, she was negative on all three tests, so I could feel free to come and not feel like I had germs to share with you folks. So I'm just thankful to be here. I know Edie wanted to be here. We always enjoy the fellowship with you folks, and we are just grateful for the fact that we're one of your missionaries. We're some of your missionaries, and you have prayed for us and supported us, and I'll make mention of that in just a few moments. yes, that is up. Okay. In the book of Romans, there's a passage that Edie and I are going to be using over the next 6 months as we phase out our full-time, part-time ministry with ABWE. We are saying that we're going to be doing a Romans 16 tour. And before I get into that, I just want to remind you of the Apostle Paul. You know, he was saved on the road to Damascus. God The Lord Jesus appeared to him, and Paul's life was radically transformed, and God called him to serve on three missionary journeys, and we're not going to go into them, but I've got some pictures up there to help you remember some of those journeys. But Paul reached Jews and Gentiles across Israel, Syria, Turkey, Greece, and Italy. He was one busy missionary, wasn't he? And the Lord used him faithfully, and he wanted to go. Is this working? Next slide, please. Can you advance it? This doesn't seem to be working.
Try pushing the down button.
I did.
The down button.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right here, the down button. Didn't work, but okay. But Paul's desire was to go on a fourth missionary journey. He just wanted to keep on serving the Lord, but it wasn't to be. He realized that there was a task that was unfinished, and he wanted to continue serving the Lord, but God had other plans for him. And while he was in Corinth, at the end of his third missionary journey, Paul penned the book to the Romans. And I'd like to encourage you to read the first part of that when you go home, because Paul was commending people who had come alongside and had encouraged him and helped him in many different ways. And as you read through that list of people, you see names like Priscilla and Aquila and Mary and Tryphena and Tryphosa. You know, there's women in this group as well as men. He was commending so many. He was saying that one was like a mother to him. There are some of his relatives who are listed in that that chapter. In fact, there are 27, I think, in all. See if this works. There we go. Look at that scroll. Can you read some of those words? These are people who were servants. They were behind the scenes. They were helping Paul, the one who was so visible in ministry. They were helping in various ways. He called them beloved. He really appreciated these people. Some of them laid down their lives for the Apostle Paul. He said that some bestowed much labor, and he said that some, their obedience has come abroad. So these people that Paul was commending were really involved in very strategic ways in his ministry, and he was grateful for them. And in the next 6 months, Edie and I are going to be going around visiting people who have had that kind of a ministry with us. They have been helpers. They have been prayer partners. They have been donors. They have done special things to encourage us and to keep us in ministry. And rather than the focus being on us, oh, we're retiring after it'll be 49, 50 years of ministry, we want the focus to be on those who have been a part of our ministry, the unseen part, because of them, we have been able to do what God has entrusted to us. And so we started our Romans 16 tour down in Lancaster, and we invited folks to come. We had 47 come 2 weeks ago Saturday, and we went around the room just thanking them, highlighting the various ways that people had helped us over the past years, and it was just a precious time of fellowship. And then we went out and we visited with others in the area that had been a part of our encouraging ministry. And so we're here today to say thank you for your part in our ministry. You have given as a church towards our support, and I have sent prayer requests, and I believe you have prayed for us, and that has meant so much to us. So you are part of this list that we have of those who have encouraged us in numerous ways. Last year, your theme was the world beyond our window, and I had this PowerPoint all planned to share with you, and I thought, well, it's still good, so I'm still going to share it. There is a world beyond our window, and we have a part in reaching that world through publications, and we're going to share some of those ways with you. throughout this presentation, but I wanted to share a verse with you. It says, "And Jesus was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." And you know, Jesus is still moved with compassion on, I'm going to say, the children of the world, because those are the ones that we have focused on throughout our ministry. And because of his passion for people, Edie and I have had a passion for children too, and wanting to reach them. And so that's what we have done. When you think of how many children there are over 2 billion children in the world who need to hear about Jesus and the salvation that he offers. That's not a small number. That's a lot. And we want to help reach those, and we physically can't go and talk to 2 billion people. Our sphere is limited in where we can go. We're basically in the state of Maine now. But we can go through publications, and that's brought great joy to us, because what we have helped to produce is being used now to minister to others. Since 1973 and 74, we have ministered to children worldwide through the development of children's resources, as well as in in-person teaching. Up in the upper right corner, you see a publication called Forever Changed by the Book. It's a missionary story about the Wycliffe missionary Joanne Shetler and how she went into a tribe that didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus. And now the Belongao are actually going out ministering throughout Luzon, the northern island of the Philippines, and some of those people have gone out as missionaries. And this story is being used to encourage the next generation of missionaries. The woman that you see holding that orange publication is from Africa. We've been able to send materials around the world when we were in Bible Visuals, and that was always such a great joy to us. And then down in the lower picture, there's a little Chinese boy. His parents just happened by our house a number of years ago. They were from mainland China. They were looking for a place where the kids could go kayaking. Well, we had two kayaks, so we took them down to the lake, and that led to our sharing Psalm 23 with their son using our puppets and costumes and all. And we gave the daughter a copy of the Story of Hope Kids that I had just finished. We have no idea how God has used that in the lives of these children, because they went back to China. They've since grown up. But you know, we're called to plant seeds, and God is going to water those seeds, and he's going to put other seeds into the hearts of these young people, and we're praying for them to come to know the Lord Jesus. So reaching children is special, because you never know what God is going to do. When I was first in Bible Visuals, I was tasked with illustrating a publication that Dr. Charles Ryrie had written called Exploring God's Word. And so I had finished the illustrations, and the publication was printed. And I said, my greatest desire is that somebody would come to know the Lord as Savior through this publication. And I was told, well, that's not going to happen, because this is not an evangelistic tool. It's telling how we got the Bible. And so I was a little disappointed. But you know what God did? About, I'd say maybe 6 months later, there was a blue air form. This tells you how long ago it was. A blue air form that came to the office, and it was from the country of Nigeria. And somebody wrote and said that there were 6 boys in Nigeria who had come to know the Lord as Savior through hearing the lessons in that book. No, it wasn't evangelistic, but somebody took it and made it that. And there will be 6 Nigerian boys in heaven because of it. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that keep us going in ministry, because sometimes ministry can be discouraging. All of us have experienced times like that, but those stories can really make a difference. The young boy in the The middle picture is now, I think, a teenager, Hannah, who came with me today, and Michael were in a kids club years ago at a Baptist church in Rockland, and Michael showed interest in the Word of God. He and his sister came, and we were there for a period of years helping in that club, and then we moved on, and we heard within the last year or so that Michael is continuing to attend that church. And the person who shared with us said that he's becoming a man of God. We're hoping that that continues to be true, because you know, when young people reach their teen years, sometimes they take another path than the one that they were on. And we heard that his father was also attending church. So, you know, the seeds being planted, and I hope that the people in that church are continuing to water those seeds. And Michael did make a profession of faith, so we're trusting that he continues on. And then the little boy sitting down on that, quote, throne, we were teaching in a vacation Bible school, and as we often do, we used costumes and drama to illustrate, and we were teaching the story of Queen Esther, and Edie had talked about the king's ring, and so the next day, this little boy came in, and he had this honking big ring on his finger. He had been listening, and he wanted to participate, and so we made him to be the king. And you know, he had been listening, not just to the story, but he had been listening to the Spirit of God speaking to his heart. And as the gospel was shared throughout that VBS, he too placed his faith in Christ. And so, as I said, it's stories like this that keep us going and doing what we're doing. Because, you know, when you're just sitting in front of a computer and you're typing and all, sometimes you need that inspiration. And we can think back to what God has done, and it's just been encouraging to us. But in our ministry, we also coordinated translation projects, like in Lebanon, not a town, it's the country over Middle East, the Czech Republic, the Philippines, Ukraine, and many other countries. And Edie and I have been to over 20 countries in the North America, Europe, Asia, and the Caribbean. And this has been one of the aspects of my ministry that has blessed me so much, to be able to put resources into the hands of people who speak another language than I do. And so we have been able to see God do some very special things in various parts of the world. The man in your upper left holding that red book is from Lebanon. He was instrumental in having translated and printed the Arabic visualized Bible volumes that were being used in the Arabic-speaking world. And Edie and I had been at the large Billy Graham conference in 2000, and he came to that conference, and he stood there by our booth because we were exhibiting for Bible Visuals, and he pulled out those recently printed Arabic visualized Bible volumes, and it just thrilled my heart to know that there were more publications that would be useful. In the middle, upper middle, there's a man there from Pakistan. He was coordinating the Urdu translation project for the country of Pakistan. I don't have an update on it, but back then he was instrumental. The girl holding the book in her hand is from Poland, and she had gone to a conference in England that we had attended. We had taken our English copy of Salvador of Spain and put it on the display table, and when it was time for us to leave, it was missing, and I thought, these are supposed to be Christians here at this conference. Who would steal one of these publications? Well, we got home, and a couple weeks later, we had either a letter or an email saying, well, I was at that conference, and I saw your book, and I wanted to read it because we have a drug problem in Poland, and I thought that this story would be helpful. The story Salvador of Spain is about a young man in Spain who was a drug addict, but he came to Christ. He was gloriously converted. And so we did his story, and she read it, and she said, I'm sorry I didn't get it back to you, but would you give us permission to translate and print it? And we helped them to print that, and it has been distributed through the throughout the country of Poland, and our prayer is that it too is going to help save some young people from a life of drugs. And then in the lower left corner here, Edie is hugging a woman that we met at Amsterdam 2000. She is from that Belong Out area. She knew Joe Shetler, of whom I just spoke, and she was trying to train young men and women to go out into the villages to teach children. And she said, "I am just so tired. Do you know anybody who could help us?" Well, we did. We had met two missionaries in the Philippines, in Manila, in 1997. And so we said to Lori, "Yeah, we know somebody." So those two friends of ours went up and helped to train. And so more and more teachers were being sent out to reach the boys and girls in that area of the Philippines. You know, God puts you in places at specific times to fulfill His desires, His will. And it was just evident that we were where God wanted us to be at that conference. And then the man beside whom I'm standing, I had worked with him for 10 years on the Russian translation project. He lived in Odessa, Ukraine. And as a result of meeting him there, I had seen photos of him, but didn't realize that he was at that conference until somebody told me that he was there. And we prayed him to our booth so that we could meet him, and he came. God answered that prayer, and as a result, we were able to go over to Odessa and meet with him and those that were printing and distributing the materials. We were in the office talking with the folks who were selling all kinds of Christian education books and Bibles and so forth, and our materials were on a shelf there in the office. The phone rang, and a woman took the call, and then she came back and she said, "That was somebody who just called to order those Russian visualized Bible volumes that were on display. Only God could have done that." And, you know, as I said, these are stories that keep us going in what we're doing. Well, since 2007, we have served with ABWE in their international department and more recently in their good soil department. And we've been working as curriculum writers, teachers, speakers. We have gone around doing some workshops. We've taught kids as we've had opportunity. But most of our time has been spent developing resources that some are put on the ABWE Good Soil website, and some are available for purchase from that site. So it's just been a joy to have this kind of a ministry as we conclude our years of service for the Lord. When Edie and I joined ABWE, we were taught this publication called The Story of Hope, and I may have shared about this when we've been here before, but we saw that it was such a useful tool. It took people from Genesis through Revelation, 20 events in the Old Testament, 20 in the New, and it clearly explained how Jesus is seen from the very beginning to the very end. And then at the very back of the book, they have 8 key words that explain the gospel. So if you know those 8 key words, you can talk your way through the gospel. It's another tool. There are many tools out there that you can use in sharing the gospel, but we thought, boy, this would be great for kids. And so, you know, when sometimes you make a suggestion, guess what happens? Yeah, I got tasked with the responsibility of taking that adult version and putting it into the kids version, the Story of Hope Kids. And it's a little different format. It allows teachers to have the kids write answers to questions, and there's more interaction. There's some activities in there that will capture the attention of children. And so that was done. But the mission has a companion book called The Way to Joy. It's a discipleship book. So guess what? We finished The Way to Joy, and the mission said, We would like you to take the Way to Joy and adapt that for children too. And so Edie and I came up with 8 lessons that we wrote and we taught them at West Rockport Baptist Church in their summer Sunday school program. And then I sent those lessons into the office, and that's what they used to make the store the Way to Joy Kids, so that teachers who have children in their classes who have put their faith in Christ, they can now disciple them to have assurance of salvation, to really get into God's Word, to know how to talk to God in prayer, how to obey God. That's so important. Telling others about Jesus and so forth. And so this was printed and made available for teachers to use. And the next slide, I think, shows some of the ways we involve the kids. We had a camp theme, and we got kids dressed up, and we used various object lessons to convey the truths that were in the Way to Joy Kids. Well, let's move on to 2019. Did we get there yet? And the mission asked, would you develop a five-day program so that teachers can teach in like VBS or a five-day club or whatever venue they have? And we would like you to take those eight key words, which are God, man, sin, death, Christ, cross, faith, and life. We'd like you to take those eight words and put them into a five-day curriculum with all kinds of activities, the Bible lesson, memory verses, reviews, and so forth. And so Edie and I worked on that. And then we also included some missions teaching from a missionary story that ABWE sells called Kubanka Kids. It's about Ukraine. And so the mission came out with this five-day course that is available for purchase. I'm not sure if you can download it or not, but you can check it out on their website. But this has been a help to teachers who want to teach a five-day curriculum in their church or club or whatever that is. So we finished that, and then the next year we started what was really a huge project. The mission has a course called The Roots of Faith Kids, The Roots of Faith. And it's 50 lessons in the Old Testament and 50 in the New Testament. And they said, would you please adapt this for children? We want you to keep to the format of the series. And as Edie and I were working on this, we thought, you know, the format's okay for high school and adults. But it's not how we would teach kids, and we just felt constrained by this. And we did our work. We tried to bring the text down, and as we got to the end, we both concurred that this is better for middle school than it is for children. And so we made that recommendation to the mission, and they accepted it. They said, okay, this is going to be the Roots of Faith middle school curriculum. And so we had a problem. They wanted something for children. So guess what? Back to square one. Another 100 lessons. And so Edie and I had used the story of hope, Adventures in the Story of Hope, at Hannah's church back when she was a little girl. And we were familiar with that layout, and it worked with kids fine. It was geared for children. And I said to our boss, I said, could we use the Adventures in the Roots of Faith? There's 40 lessons already done. We'll just add 60 lessons to it, and that'll make up the 100 that we need. We'll have to do a little adapting for the first 40. And he said, yeah, go for it. And so that's what Edie and I have been doing. We already had taught some of that, and that was great. So the past year, 2021 and 2022, we've been expanding Adventures in the Story of Hope into Adventures in the Roots of Faith. We adapted those 40 lessons that were in the previous publication, and we've been writing new lessons. When we got the first unit done in the Old Testament, we sent it to Gil, and each lesson, I must say, you can see all the pages up here. Each lesson takes about 8 to 12 pages. So if you would hold a ream of paper, that's 500 pages. If you add another ream on top of that, that's 1,000. That's about how many pages this whole project is going to take for children. That's because we spell everything out for them, all the activities and how to teach the memory verse and songs and, you know, the whole nine yards. So when we got the first unit sent in, Gil looked at it and he said, that's fine, but, you know, I have another idea. I'd like you to write take-home papers that go along with all of these 100 lessons. And I thought, oh, joy. So I sat down and Edie was working on a lesson. So I jotted down some ideas and I put together a take-home paper that could serve maybe as a model for what we could do. And I sent it off to him and he came back and he said, yeah, that's fine, but I really think we need to have 2 pages. And so that means we have another 200 pages to add on top of that 1,000 pages. So that's what we're doing. This is the prototype of what the take-home paper might look like when we send things in to the mission. Their graphic artist changes things around and makes it look prettier. So we are down now to the last 10 lessons in the New Testament. And we have been going chronologically, so we're at the end of the New Testament, and you know what comes towards the end of the New Testament? Well, Revelation. That's what we're dealing with now. I'm trying to get that down on a kid's level. And so you can continue to pray for us that God will give us the wisdom to make this crystal clear for kids. As I mentioned, we were in Pennsylvania recently, and we went to the ABWE office, and while we were there, they showed us a stack of materials, and they said, this is the middle school program. It was printed for their critique. They had been editing it, and they were about ready to send it off to be printed. So that was exciting to see that what we had worked so hard on was now close to being printed, and I think that will be available as a download on their website. And then you can see what Gil has. Gil is our boss. He has a little flash drive. I took everything that we had done for the children's Adventures in the Roots of Faith program that we had done up to this point and put it on the flash drive. And it doesn't look very much. It looks insignificant when you put it on a flash drive. But he has it, and they've already transferred it to their computers so they can be working on it. But it was exciting to get, you know, 90 of the lessons in his hands. And then we spent some time visiting with the folks from the Good Soil team. We have worked together with them remotely. Once in a while we get together at some retreats. But it's been a joy to be a part of the Good Soil team, and we're thankful for that. The potential to reach untold numbers of children through the publications that God has allowed us to develop and publish over the past 48, 49 years cannot be measured this side of heaven. We have no idea how many children will be in heaven because of what God has allowed us to have a part in producing. And as we have worked with a team, both in Bible Visuals and in ABWE, we're not the only ones developing these materials. There are editors, and there's artists, and there's those who print the materials, and those who distribute them, and, you know, there's a lot more involved in this whole distribution of publications. So I would encourage you to pray that many, many children will come to Christ through the materials that we have had the joy of working on over the years. ABWE's Good Soil department does provide resources for believers wanting to teach the Word of God, and they have a slew of materials on their website. So if you want to check out goodsoil.com, you will find all kinds of resources that you can use to share your faith with people if you want to teach. Or if you are teaching and you're looking for some material that you would like to use, check out their website. If you're into teaching kids, there's a kids section where you can find all of these materials that we have been working on. So we face a task that is unfinished, tying into your theme for this year. There are millions and millions of kids who still need to hear the gospel. And we want to do our best to try to help reach some of those. And so we're planning to continue writing for Good Soil through March of 2023. We've been saying for 2 years now that we're retiring. We are part-time, but you know, when you enjoy doing something, you don't want to give it up. But our bodies are telling us, now wait a minute, slow down. You can't do what you used to do. And so we have been part-time all this year, although we've been working more full-time sometimes to get this big project done. But next year we are going to retire in March. But from January to March, we're going to be writing Christian education articles that will become a book in the Gaining Ground series that ABWE has. And this book will highlight principles or key essentials in reaching and teaching children. So from the years of our experience in working with teachers and children, we're going to be developing an outline of articles that we will write and then submit to Gil for his critique, and they will be put on the website probably for immediate download, and then when everything's done the end of March, he'll work towards putting them into a book that will be a companion book to the Gaining Ground series that he has already written. So, you know, we're excited to see the end of Adventures in the Roots of Faith. We're excited about this new challenge of writing articles. Gil would like us to write one article a week, so that's a goal that we hope we can attain next year. So, you know, please pray for us. We need wisdom and perseverance, and we need to stay healthy so that we can accomplish this goal that has been given to us. So I just want to say thank you for your prayers, your support, your compassion for the children of the world. We are so very grateful for the way you have come alongside and helped us. You know, we joined the mission when we were older, and sometimes that can be a challenge to try to raise support and have people come alongside you. But this church did, and we are very, very grateful for that. And because of what you have done, you are going to have a part in the children that will be standing around that throne who have come to know Christ through these publications, and we're just so grateful for that. So thank you from Edie and from me, and thank you, Rick, for allowing us to come. We are just, as I said, so grateful for what you have done to help in our ministry. So thank you.
Can I pray for you, dear? Can I pray for you? Why don't you join me up front? And I was thinking of where we have been in the last weeks, actually, and the things we have heard and the reach that this church family has as it relates to the important work of missions. Back in September, was not officially part of our missions conference, but we had Tom and Barbara Ward with us. And the focus of their ministry, their heart, was in the area of Muslims. And the Lord has used them for a great many years, both in London and in the country of Pakistan, southern Pakistan. And then we moved to House of Hope Ministry, more of a local ministry, and that of sharing the gospel and providing food to local people who need meals. And then second week this month, we heard from the Kim family. We took on a new missionary family who will be having a ministry with SYME in South Korea. Last week, we heard from Word Radio and the work that the Lord is doing there and getting the word out through content broadcasting. such a great and important ministry. And today we hear from Karen with regards to the work that the Lord is using them in their publication and curriculum development, teaching in person. So, Karen, thank you for sharing that with us today. Next week, we'll hear from Sean Donnelly and the work the Lord is doing in Central America through their medical and air ambulance ministry and ministry to children, VBS program. So the task truly is unfinished, but it is both local and it is worldwide. And the Lord is using you. He's using us in that great work. And it is a privilege. It's a privilege to serve Jesus. The gospel has visited us, and our passion is that same Jesus would be shared. So, Karen, thank you. Can I pray for you? I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for Edie. And this is all being somewhat partially retired at that. Boy, I'd hate to see you going at full strength, girl. I listen to your stories and see the work that you're doing, and it just makes my head spin. But I thank the Lord for you. Gracious Lord, I thank you that you are the one who raises up and gifts your people with talents and abilities and spiritual giftedness to accomplish your work and that which you've called us to. Lord, I thank you for Karen. I thank you for Edie and their many, many years of faithful, devoted service to you and the precious gospel message. Thank you, Lord, for their giftedness and how they are using this in thankful and humble service unto you, Lord. Continue to watch over them, Lord. I pray your blessings upon them. Use them mightily for the building up of the body of Christ locally and worldwide. Lord, I thank you for the creativity that you have blessed them with. And Lord, thank you that we can call them our friends today also. Lord, I want to pray for the materials that are produced, that as they find their way into the hands of adults and children, these materials would point the way to Jesus and the message of salvation and how great a Redeemer is ours. Thank you, Lord, for that you saved us, and today we have one whom we share with others. Lord, I pray your continued blessing upon Karen and Edie and for the time that you will have before them, as you will use them maybe in new ways, ways that today they might not even be considering. But Lord, I thank you for their servants' hearts. I pray your blessings upon them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, friend. All right, folks. Hey, why don't you find your hymnal with me one last time this morning? And there we are going to go to number 307. We'll sing the first and the last verses that you find there. For those of you joining us at home, as you hear the organ music begin, if you'd like to sing along with us there in the comfort of your own home or your kitchen table or your living room, wherever you're at, we're going to be singing the hymn entitled Send the Light. Send the Light. Those of us here in the sanctuary, it's number 307. Please stand with me. Let's sing together. Let's rejoice. Now, friends, we dismiss with the Ephesian doxology. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you all, dear friends. If you'd like to visit with Karen for a little bit, you're welcome to do so. What an incredible resource she is, especially if you're involved in children's ministry. Have a blessed day. You're dismissed.